good morning. Welcome in to the front porch here on this Friday morning. And Joe Barner across the way. Good morning, Joe.
Friday morning once again.
Can you believe it? It's hard to believe sometimes. You know how fast. How fast these weeks just zoom, zoom, zoom on by. Kind of reminds you of Biscuit, don't it? Just have the zoomies.
A lot of cats have that, yeah.
I love it. I love to see our cat get the zoomies. Of course, we have some stairs that goes up to my daughter's room.
And what's your cat's name?
Molly.
Molly.
And she'll just take off flying and just up them steps, flying, and then back down them. And it's just so fun to watch. It really is. It's entertaining.
The transitions are fun, too, with cats, at least with Biscuit, because all of a sudden, you know, she's mellow, and then all of a sudden,
yeah, just
gets toward 9 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah. Oh,
got to have some zoomy time.
That's right. That's right. Well, Joe, it's such a beautiful morning, and where are we picking up at today?
Well, we're not zooming this morning.
We're not going to zoom? Okay.
We're going to be working our way through Psalm 139 this morning.
Okay.
Pretty familiar psalm, and it's interesting, after beginning to read over that early in the week, which is what I do, kind of prepare all week. Mm-hmm. It struck me when I had a routine doctor's appointment, and my doctor, who I've been seeing for 35 years or so, he came into the exam room with my folder, which was like an inch and a half thick.
That's pretty thick, Joe.
Yeah, well, he told me that even though I thought that file was pretty large, now remember, I've been seeing him for 35 years.
Yeah, that's...
He had patients with 5 or 6 folders full of medical information.
Oh.
My doctor is old school.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't come in. A lot of doctors come in with a laptop.
Oh, I know.
And the neurologist that I see at Vanderbilt, she comes in with a laptop. And by the time you leave, you can print out your whole exam.
Whole exam.
Well, I thought about that. And then I thought, well, in comparison to our God, those doctors really know very little about me.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
In Psalm 139, we learn that God began keeping a file on each of us from the moment of conception. He designed each of us and had a purpose for our lives even then. We learn in Psalm 139 that God knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows everything about us, what we're thinking. He knows every word we will speak. And I like the way the Gaithers expressed it in a song some years ago. The one who knows me best loves me most.
Amen.
And that's our God. We're going to learn more about that from Psalm 139 this morning here on Missionary Radio.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's word in 60 seconds. The Bible says in Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. There was a pastor who had a parrot. All the parrot would say was, "Let's pray, let's pray." The pastor tried to teach him to say other things, but to no avail. He learned that one of his deacons had a parrot. That parrot would only say, "Let's kiss, let's kiss." So the pastor decided to invite the deacon and his parrot over to his house. When the deacon arrived, they put the parrots in the same cage to see what would happen. The deacon's parrot said, "Let's kiss, let's kiss." The pastor's parrot said, "Thank you, Lord. My prayers have been answered." A funny story, but it does teach one thing. There's great power in prayer. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's word in 60 seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It taps me into what I need to hear for spiritual growth and keeps me on the right path and just feeds my soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
Welcome back to the front porch on this Friday, Joe.
Hey, good morning. We're in Psalm 139, and when we read through Psalm 139, we encounter some deep theological truths described by Bible students with big words. The first one that we come across is that God is omniscient. That means that God knows everything. Nothing escapes his notice. Right. And then we see that God is omnipresent.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what that means, Brian?
Means he's everywhere.
He's everywhere. And then God is all-powerful in his creation of us. He is omnipotent. It's not just that God knows everything, though. He knows me. And Amen. He knows you.
He knows me.
It's not just that God is everywhere. He's everywhere with me and everywhere with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just that God created everything. He created me, and he created you. In Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6, we learn, first of all, that God knows everything about us. He's omniscient. Read Psalm 139, Brian, 1 through 6.
Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off, that is. You comprehend my path and my laying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it.
Well, even though my doctor's file that I talked about, that inch and a half thick file,
yes,
it contained the results of each year's physical, mm-hmm. as well as visits throughout the year,
yes,
and my home records of glucose and weight and blood pressure readings, my doctor doesn't know a lot that God knows about me.
That's true.
God knows when I sit and when I rise,
mm-hmm.
When I go out and when I lie down, not to mention what I'm thinking and what yeah. I say or what I might not say.
Very true.
What sets God apart from other false gods that people have worshipped and are worshipping is that he is not hostile toward us, nor is he indifferent.
Mm-mm.
Our God cares enough about us to be students of each of us. Verse 1 says that he has more knowledge about us. Years ago, we might have said, than an encyclopedia has.
That's right.
Now, he knows more about us than the best search engine online.
Yeah.
He searches us and he knows us intimately.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does it mean to say that he knows when we sit down and when we rise?
What does it mean?
Yeah.
He just knows everything about us. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, he knows when we get up. He knows when we sit down. He just knows every move that we make all through the day.
He watches over us when we're resting.
Resting.
When we sit down or when we mm-hmm. lie down. He knows when we drag ourselves out of bed saying either, good morning, Lord.
Yeah.
Or good Lord, it's morning
it's
already.
It's morning, yeah. It's Monday.
No, it's Friday, Brian.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm saying it. I'm talking about Monday because usually yeah. Monday's the bad day, you know. So.
And he is with us as we go about our daily activities. He's
yeah.
ready and willing to help us cope with whatever the day brings.
Yes.
In fact, we may think we know what's coming up in the day,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of times we don't know.
We don't have a clue.
We're surprised.
We're surprised every single day, you know. There's just like one morning when I woke up and my refrigerator wouldn't work, and I was like, "Well, here's another day that I wasn't expecting, but it happened." So
well, the Lord knew that.
He knew that. He knew
he
that.
Said,
yeah.
Said I'm going to help Brian today because he doesn't know it yet, but his refrigerator's going to die.
It's going to die. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, verse 3 says that you discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. He's present with us from the time we rise and begin our day all through the day until we're ready to lie down again. Others might see our actions and what we share with those closest to us, but the Lord looks on our hearts. Jesus told us in Matthew 10:30 that he knows the number of hairs on our head.
Yes.
If you shower this morning, you find a few around the drain,
mm-hmm.
well, the Lord just subtracted one or two.
That's it. That's it.
He's got them numbered. In fact, here in verse 2, we learn that God never has to say a penny for your thoughts
mm-mm.
because he knows what's going on inside of our minds.
He knows.
He understands and perceives our thoughts, it says, from far away. Even though he is close to each of us,
yeah.
that's how much he loves and cares for each of us. God knows and understands our deepest desires, mm-hmm. our disappointments, our concerns. He knows our motivations. He knows us inside and out. Verse 4 goes further to say that God has foreknowledge, which extends to knowing what we will say when we open our mouths. Look at verse 4 again, Brian.
All right, let me jump back here. It says, "For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together."
Now, if my filter between what I think and what I say is broken, we know some people like that, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
Don't name their names.
Oh, I won't.
And with some folks, the Lord doesn't have to know very much in advance what we will say.
Yeah.
But he knows every word that we will speak. Now, if I'm given to profanity or impure speech, that's a little frightening to think about. Lord knows.
It is.
He knows what's going to come out. Mm-hmm. And that's a good reminder to be slow to speak.
Yes.
To reinstall that filter.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Mama had good advice when she said to count to 10.
Yeah, count to 10.
And learn to weigh our words a little more carefully. I think maybe the Lord gives us credit sometimes for things that we think but don't say.
I believe that. I can go along with that.
Said Brian, you were wise not to say that.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I've had to bite my tongue. I'm like, chew it off almost. Like, I really want to say something, but no, I'm not going to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, in verse 5, we read that the Lord hems us in behind and before. How does yours read?
It says, "You have hedged me behind and before."
Okay. I like that word hedge. That means a protective barrier.
Yeah, yeah.
Many people grow hedges for privacy around their yards. And it could be very well speaking of God's protection of his children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing can come to us except it comes through God's hedge of protection, through his fence of protection.
Force field.
Mm-hmm. The reference to God's hand upon us speaks of his constant nearness. Now, how might we react to this sense of how God knows us inside and out? Well, in one sense, it can be very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, these days we live with that realization more and more that we're always being watched.
Mm-hmm.
With surveillance cameras on drones.
Yeah.
And just about everyone with video cameras on your phones potentially taping everything we say or do, you have to be careful.
Yes.
You have to be on your best behavior.
You know, my mom, she's 89, and she says, "I just don't like it that you can take your phone and put an address in and zoom right down on the house." You know, I said, yeah, you can zoom right down on it. Yeah, it's right there. So.
Well, our unease, I think, comes maybe from our doubt that those who are taping us have our best interest in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, how does that differ with our God? Well, our God has our best interest in mind.
Yes, he does.
You know, a child can be comforted by the realization that a loving parent is watching out for him or her.
Mm-hmm.
We can certainly be confident in the love and care of our Heavenly Father.
Mm-hmm.
His constant knowledge of us is a comfort rather than a curse.
Yes.
I think that's where David was in his thinking when he exclaimed in verse 6, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain to."
Mm-hmm.
He was astounded. He was amazed that God knew him so well and yet loved him so much.
Yeah.
As that Gaither song said, the one who loves us best, or the one who knows us best, loves us the most.
Yes.
And that's true. That's an amazing truth about our wonderful God. Another truth about our God is his omnipresence, that God is everywhere, that there is nowhere that God is not there. Is it too early to go to Pen from the Heart?
Oh, we got about a minute.
Okay, well, read those verses then. And we'll come back and talk about them after Pen from the Heart, 7 through 12 of Psalm 139.
"Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you.
So we're talking about God's omnipresence, that he is everywhere. There's nowhere that God is not there.
That's right.
We'll talk more about Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12, after Pen from the Heart.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55, 11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, keep up the good work that is being done through this station. From Madisonville, I love the radio station. Thank you. From Tennessee Ridge, I am very thankful for Missionary Radio programs and music. God bless you all. Also from Clarksville, I thank everyone of the staff for their commitment to our Lord Jesus.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Sharing hope in Christ 24/7.
Missionary.
Missionary Radio.
Hi, this is Shauna on Johnny Erickson Tata's Sharing Hope. I can't wait for you to hear Johnny's encouraging words, inspired by Psalm 107, verses 27 and 28.
This is going to be in the King James, and it says, "At their wits' end, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out." Now, I just think that's really something. The phrase, "at wits' end," was around even back in the 1600s, and people are still saying it today. I mean, come on, many a time you're tearing out your hair over some problem and thinking, "I'm at wits' end." I know I have been there. But isn't that a great verse from Psalm 107? When we are at our wits' end, if we cry out to the Lord in our trouble, he will bring us out. Oh, friend, that is such an amazing promise. Well, in the last century, those verses from Psalm 107 inspired the poet Antoinette Wilson to write these encouraging words. Just listen. She writes, "Are you standing at wits' end corner, Christian with troubled brow? Are you thinking of what is before you and all that you are bearing now? Does all the world seem against you and you in the battle alone? Remember, at wits' end corner is just where God's power is shown. Are you standing at wits' end corner, blinded with wearing pain, feeling you cannot endure it, you cannot bear the strain? Bruised through the constant suffering, dizzy and dazed and numb, remember, at wits' end corner is where Jesus loves to come. Are you standing at wits' end corner, your work before you spread, all lying begun unfinished, and pressing on heart and head? Longing for strength to do it, stretching out trembling hands, remember, at wits' end corner the burden bearer stands. Are you standing at wits' end corner? Then you're just in the very spot to learn the wondrous resources of him who faileth not. No doubt to a brighter pathway your footsteps will soon be moved, but only at wits' end corner is the God who is able proved." You know, that poem with its standard beat, the way it rhymes, sounds a little old-fashioned and out of date, but I just bet the words resonate with you, because when you are at your wits' end, it means you're at the end of your rope. You're at a dead end with no more ideas, no more solutions. You've come to the end of yourself and you see no way out. Well, be refreshed today, not only with that poem, but with this promise from Psalm 107. "At their wits' end, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress." And then the psalmist goes on to say, "He stilled the storm to a whisper. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven."
Oh, what a wonderful promise that is. And hey, if you were blessed by that poem Johnny read, feel free to visit us today at johnnyradio.org and download it for yourself and to share with a friend. And while you're on our website, be sure to listen to some of Johnny's other radio programs too. Every one of them offers refreshing insights that will help you hold fast to the Lord as He brings you out of your distress and guides you to a safe haven. And if you find yourself at wit's end, cry out to the Lord and He will calm your heart. He'll bring you out of the storm and guide you to safety. And real quickly, let me repeat the last two lines of that poem. No doubt to a brighter pathway your footsteps will soon be moved, but only at wit's end corner is the God who is able prove. And friend, remember that you can hear this program again at johnnyradio.org. And while you're there, be sure to leave us your prayer requests.
At Missionary Radio, every song, every scripture, every word of encouragement you hear is made possible by you. We're not funded by commercials. There's no big corporation writing checks. It's friends like you, listeners who love Jesus and want others to know Him, who keep this ministry going. Right now, giving is down, and our next carathon isn't until October, but the need is real today. If this station has blessed your life, if it's helped you through a tough day, drawn you closer to Christ, or filled your home with peace, would you prayerfully consider stepping in right now? You're not just giving to a station. You're giving so hope can be heard 24 hours a day. Go to missionary.radio, click on donate, or mail your gift to P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Missionary Radio, sharing the love of Jesus because He's worth it.
24/7, Missionary Radio.
One day we will all see Him. Those of us who have trusted in the Lord Jesus,
yes,
we'll see Him face to face.
Amen.
We've been looking at Psalm 139 today, where we're realizing that He sees us.
Amen.
He looks deep into our hearts, and mm-hmm. He sees everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think. In verses 13 through 16 of Psalm 139, David's amazed and astounded that God oversaw our lives from the very moment of conception, that He has a plan and a purpose for each of us.
For You formed my inward parts. You covered me with Your mother's womb. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw the substance being yet unformed, and in Your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them.
I think we could say that David believed what ultrasounds have revealed to be true now,
mm-hmm.
that life begins at conception.
Yes.
You know, today we hear that a woman should have the right to do as she pleases with her body.
Mm-hmm.
But these very basic verses speak to the sanctity of human life.
Yes.
And they tell us that from conception, God not only sees that mother, but He sees another person mm-hmm. in her womb.
Yes.
The more we learn about the human body, the more we should see God's designing and creating hand upon each life. One writer concluded, the workings of the human body are stunning in their design and execution. We know far more than David ever did know about how we are made, mm-hmm. and it should make us full of more awe and praise than David ever had.
Yes.
Let me point you to verse 16 that says, your eyes saw my unformed body, all the days ordained for me were written in Your book mm-hmm. before one of them came to be. We mentioned ultrasound, a great tool in the hands
yes.
of those who are promoting mm-hmm. life, encouraging mothers not to abort their children.
Yes.
But that verse says that God knows the length of our years on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
He has a purpose for each of us. Look at Ephesians 2:10, Brian.
For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
You know, before we were born, even before we were conceived, and I think from Ephesians, before we were born again, God had a plan and a purpose
yes.
for each of us. He wanted to use each of us to touch other lives for his glory.
Yes.
Now, in Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18, we find David's response to the greatness of God.
How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
David was filled with amazement and adoration to think that God knew and cared for him. You know, it's precious that God should think of us at all.
That's right.
And it's beyond precious that he thinks well of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks often of us. His thoughts, according to those verses, number more than the grains of sand on the shore of the ocean.
Yes.
How big a number is that?
That's big.
That's almost an infinite number.
That's it.
David Jeremiah put it this way, the Lord is all powerful, but oh, how personal. Mm-hmm. Whether you live in a small town, a sprawling suburb, or a congested city, Jesus knows your address.
Yes, he does.
He doesn't have to go to Google to find it.
That's right.
He knows your living conditions. He knows your hardest problems, your heaviest burdens, and your unfolding opportunities. He cares. He considers. And he carries out his plan, and it's always for your benefit.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus thinks of you constantly, David Jeremiah continues, so you can shift your sorrows onto his shoulders, because he knows how to bear burdens, and he knows how to bless believers.
Amen.
You know, when we awake in the morning, we should remember that God has been thinking of us all through the night.
Amen.
He delights in each of us. Now, that's a great thought.
Very great thought.
On a Friday morning.
Amen.
Charles Spurgeon said of this truth that God knows us, that he thinks of us. He wrote, I have heard of a man who used to boast all of his life that King George VI once spoke to him. Now, the king only said, get out of the road. But it was a king who said it, Spurgeon said, so the man felt greatly gratified thereby.
Yeah.
But you and I, beloved, can rejoice that God, before whom kings are as grasshoppers, actually thinks of us. And he thinks of us often.
Amen.
So in view of a God who loves us so dearly, who created us with a purpose, and who knows us inside and out, better than we know ourselves.
Right.
David responded with a prayer for God to shine his searchlight into the dark corners of his heart so that his life would be pleasing to God. We find that prayer, it's a great prayer, Psalm 139, 23, and 24.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Trust me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.
So what does that prayer recognize about our God?
That he'll take care of all our anxieties.
Yes, he wants us to cast them on him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reminded of 1 Peter 5:7 that says, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great prayer to pray, Lord, search me. Know my anxious thoughts, my anxieties.
Yes.
And soothe them.
Yes.
With your peace.
Amen.
But our God knows us inside and out, and he wants us to acknowledge that he knows better than we do.
Right.
What changes might need to be made in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And he will help us to make those changes. It might be a change of from fear to trust.
True.
Lord, I'm sensing fear in my heart today.
Mm-hmm.
Help me to trust you,
yes.
To realize that you are a great God, that you are in
yes.
control. And Pastor James Merritt said, when you pray this prayer, when you pray, search me, O God, and know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts, see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. James Merritt said, when you pray this prayer, you're asking God to put you under his spiritual CAT scan.
Mm-hmm.
And bring to light what would normally be hidden.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's hidden even to ourselves.
It is.
And he said, sometimes we let any riffraff knock on the door of our heart and willingly throw it open.
Yep.
If anger shows up, we let him in. When pity wants to have a party, we show him the fridge.
Yep.
Hopefully it's working.
Yeah, that's right.
When lust rings the bell, we change the sheets on the bed. That's our heart. It desires change. It sometimes desires conflict. But we can't rely on our hearts. But we need God to search our hearts.
Yes.
He is totally reliable.
Yes.
So let's pray that prayer as we close today based on Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Search us, O God, know our hearts. Test us, know our anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting. Father, thank you that you know us so well, that you designed us with a purpose, that you knew us probably from the moment, as they say, when we were just a gleam in our daddy's eye. You had a purpose for our lives, and work out that purpose today. Help us to cooperate with your spirit in being the people that you want to be, having the impact that you want us to have today for the sake of Christ. We ask in our Savior's name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio, and join us all next week for The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio.